Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning the next verse, text 5 from Canto 5, Chapter 19, the island of Jambudweep. This morning's verse is controversial. There's another one that's also controversial. I mean, for some people, controversial. And the controversy goes like this. How is it that Ram could make a mistake? How is it that Ram, by making the mistake, could leave Sita unprotected and kidnapped by Ravana, and he's the supreme, omniscient, all-powerful personality, Godhead. How could he do that? And then, why did he do that? Because he's omniscient. So that's the controversy. And then the explanation given by Hanuman is, you know, for some people, unpalatable. So, controversies. Not new to spiritual life. But as we, when we began this section, an introduction to the section was, who can most intimately know Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead? So, particularly Ram, so Valmiki, Shukadeva Goswami, and Hanuman. So this, we can take it, this is authoritative, this is the inside scoop. It's not like notional. Maybe it's the inside picture of Ram, the heart of Ram, the character of Ram. So text 5 translation. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of God, had appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana. What else? But also to teach mortal beings that material happiness, centered around sex life or centered around one's wife, is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? What to speak of Mother Sita's tribulations. Purport, 2 pages. When the Lord appears in the universe, in this universe, in the form of a human being, he has 2 purposes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Pritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam, to destroy the demons and to protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, this celebrated verse that Prabhupada would quote so often, Yanmai Tanadi Grihamedi Sukami Tuchcham, etc. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus, they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees, to teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general. Lord Sri Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never had any reason to lament for anything. Paragraph. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. That's human society. There's lots of people that aren't human. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nonetheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure potency, pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Paragraph. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons, under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, yata deka vaishnavera vyavahara dukha nishchaya janiha taha paramananda sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss, in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's Prabhupada's purport. Now we're going to go to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and see what he has to write. There we go. Question. How does Rama appear in the material world? Answer. He appeared in the world with a human form. Martya Vataraha. Not only for killing Ravana, but to teach human beings. These humans were of two types, those who follow Dharma and the devotees. Rama appeared in order to teach Dharma by showing his nature of following Dharma and to teach Prema by showing how he was controlled by Prema. Otherwise, why would the Lord, the enjoyer, the Paramatma, in his Swarup, experience suffering caused by separation from Sita? Follower of Dharma would never ignore his chaste wife and would tolerate suffering because of her. To teach us this, he showed suffering in himself. That is the first point, namely teaching Dharma. Second point, how could he lament in separation from Sita? These symptoms, which only have the appearance of suffering, arise from the taste of vipralambha rasa, love and separation, in the sthai bhava of prema. This rasa is actually the highest bliss. It would be a contradiction if suffering were present in someone who is Atmarama, self-satisfied. One should not say, quote, if Rama is self-satisfied, how can he enjoy Sita? Answer, Sita is part of himself, since she arises as his Swarup Shakti. Question, if Sita is part of his Swarup, then why should he experience separation? Answer, by a particular function of the Chit Shakti, by the great power known as Prema, the one supreme tattva remains divided in two parts without beginning in time. One part is bliss with six powers, that's Bhagavan, and the other part is pure bliss. The first part is called the Supreme Lord, and the second is called the devotee. Then again, by four functions of his prema, that's the four rasas, the second tattva divides into four, servants, friends, elders, and lovers. The first tattva, or the Lord, is established in terms of manifestation of these different types of bhavas of the devotee. Rasa is not separate, and those who are involved in the rasa of the Supreme Lord are not separate because they're expansions of his potency. When jivas of the material world, by good fortune, begin practicing this type of bhakti, and their bhakti becomes mature, prema appears on its own, placing the jivas into those moods as servant, friend, parent, or lover. Prema then brings them to the eternal world at the appropriate time with these bhavas, such as dasya, and pervades them with these four types of love. By prema they attain a sthayi bhava, and by vibhavas, anubhavas, and sanchari bhavas, which arise by the power of prema alone, prema becomes rasa. Then, prema makes the two tattvas experience their natures as vishaya and ashraya, and by meeting and separation, occurring by the will of prema, a person experiences happiness and sorrow. The devotees experience the most astonishing bliss by tasting the unparalleled, most extraordinary sweetness of prema. Those who are not devotees, however, will say that Rama and Krishna experience great suffering. Others will say that Rama imitated suffering for teaching the jivas. In this way, they are bewildered. So it wasn't a cosmetic, it wasn't a drama. Something like in Queen Kunti's prayer, she says about Krishna and Mother Jasoda. Krishna wasn't feigning fear and feigning tears like an actor on a stage. Not really. They're just acting out something. Oh, she wants me to. So I'll behave like this so she'll be a satisfied mother. Queen Kunti understands, as Vishwanath is understanding, these are actual feelings. He's ruled by prema, and the prema is the prema of the devotee, and it's a big mystery for worldly people. One more reference, commentary, is Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami has something to say that's very interesting. This is from his Priti Sandarbha 196. He cites it in its entirety in Krama Sandarbha, which is a verse-by-verse commentary on the Bhagavatam. So on this verse, he writes, "The pastime is not material. It does not arise from attachment to desire. It arises for showing special mercy to his special devotees." Paragraph. "He is not attached to the three worlds. He is Paramatma, full of all powers, Bhagavan, and the shelter of all, Vasudevaha. He is the best friend of the devotees who have possessiveness of him." Possessiveness is this mamata. They feel that towards him, "for whom he exists as the master. Therefore, he could not undergo suffering caused by attachment to a woman like others, but he would undergo suffering for Sita, who is the object of his love, which causes such suffering, since she has the greatest possessiveness of him." Then comes something I had to research a little bit. "Giving up Lakshmana, though he was a great devotee, since he interrupted Rama's consultation with Devaduta, could also not have been done. Later he ascended to his abode with Sita, Lakshman, and others who were waiting for him, his coming to Vaikuntha. Also, see that he is now with them, with Sita in Kimpurushavarsha. Thus he only appeared to suffer in order to preserve the conventions." So, I'm not so familiar with this Devaduta Leela, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions it, and here's where he mentions it. "He is never attached to the three worlds because he is Paramatma." This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. "He is the best friend of those for whom the Lord is the object of service, Atmavan, Atma Vatam. Because he is full of the six qualities, Bhagavan. If one does not accept that the Lord is controlled by prema, then he should not have fallen under illusion created by a woman, like an ordinary person. That's people that don't understand his nature. If one does not accept his spiritual qualities, he should not have given up Lakshmana that he describes a little bit, that reference. The advisor, Devaduta, informed Rama that Rama should kill anyone who came in the room at that time, since they're having a private talk. Lakshmana, situated at the door as the guard, then came in to inform Rama that Durvasa had come. Rama, in anger, was ready to kill him. Vashishta said, "Give him up." And Rama did so. Therefore, by this pastime, Rama taught prema and dharma. The previous verse correctly said that Rama appeared in this world to teach human beings. So now this is, it's a little mysterious, right? What's going on here? For one of the difficulties in understanding spiritual teachings is we're conditioned souls, and as conditioned souls, we have a tendency to try to understand things based upon our frame of reference of experience. So we hear this and we hold this up to the light of our experience, or our values, or our conceptions of virtue and what's right and what's wrong. And it's, you know, it's natural to do that. That's what the mind does. It's a philosophical point. Listening to someone explain their ideas on Vedic cosmology. And so they showed, as an example, so I'm from America, I don't know anything about cricket. I don't know the rules. I don't, you know, because I've seen a cricket bat, I have an idea that's shaped a little different than a baseball bat. I certainly know what a baseball bat looks like. But so, since I don't have that experience of a cricket bat, somebody from India or somebody else that knows cricket, when they see the cricket bat, they know exactly what it is. But I have no experience of it. You know, by enough exposure over time, I get a sense of, like, that's what a cricket bat looks like, and that's what a cricket ball looks like. I don't know anything about the rules. It's like, I'm fine not knowing what the rules are. I'm not at all attracted to cricket. But there are people that's like, rah, rah, rah. Without details. Tendency of the mind is we have impressions, we have conceptions carried in the mind. And then when we hear the scripture, we tend to hold what the scripture says up to the light of what's in our mind and see how close is the match. And at least my understanding of why this is difficult for worldly people is because they have a conception of what's right and wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be and so forth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a difficult task. It's like teaching people that have material conceptions what's on the other side of the material conceptions, what's conceptions of Dharma that's on the other side of the worldly conception of Dharma. Because you have to have conception. You can't be vacant. So even when hearing transcendence, we have the tendency to compare it to our worldly stuff. And it takes a while to make that adjustment. So the two essential points. Ram appeared in a human form in order to uphold the benediction that Brahma gave that said Ravana can't be killed by this, that, and the other thing, but he exempted humans. He made no mention of humans. That was explained by Brahma to the demigods why Vishnu will appear as a human, so he appeared as a human. But there's many things he was doing at the same time. That was one of the reasons. So the ideal king, and the ideal king upholds virtue. We heard yesterday that his strength, of course, he's the personality of Godhead, but as the emblem of Dharma of a king, he upholds truth. He upholds the word of his father. He upholds his own word. It's not just not lying. He just always speaks. He always upholds the truth. So that's a virtue. Okay, if that's a virtue, then what is Krishna doing when he's telling Yudhisthira to tell a lie? Because that's not okay. So there's yet a higher principle. And that is Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat. Whatever the personality Godhead says, that is the highest Dharma. That's para Dharma. Ram is teaching this other Dharma. Now, if Ram is teaching this other Dharma, then what's the Dharma message about marriage? So Prabhupada is giving that in his purport. And so supposing someone feels, lots of someone feel, it's most suited for me personally to be in marriage as opposed to not be in marriage. And then what about the principle of sex or intimate association? So there must be some intimacy, otherwise what's the meaning? But the intimacy has its not for the purpose of sense gratification, that if it's not for that purpose, what's the purpose? It's taking care of my psychophysical needs at the same time seeing the interest of the personality of Godhead. He's at the center. And that keeps us on track. And if we don't have that, then we're going to have a problem. And even if we have that, that's the second lesson in the second section of Prabhupada's purport, then there's difficulty, but we accept the difficulty, we endure the difficulty, because of the dharmic principle of giving protection, etc., etc. So Ram showed that. And then the third is the prema feature, which is even more mysterious. So the vipralamba bhava or viraha, the separation mood. So all these things are going on at the same time. And our acharyas are helping us understand the prema between the Supreme Lord and his devotee. So there's Sita, there's Lakshmana, and there's us, the devotee of the Lord. And the prema stage is a very elevated stage. We're not there, but here it is with Sita. So she's not feeling why did he not protect me? Why did he let me become attracted to the deer? He could have put his foot down and said no. He's omniscient. He could have said no. That's the doubt that some people have. He's omniscient. He must have known. So why didn't he put his foot down and say no? This is the illusory energy. Because he wanted to teach something. There's multiple things. He wanted to experience love and separation. He wanted to kill Ravan. And the means for killing Ravan was Sita's kidnap, and then there's a dharmic principle. The one who kidnaps another's wife is subject to the death penalty, besides other things. So it was dharmically justified to do what he did, to engage in battle on a principle of dharma. I mean, there's other principles, this vow to the sages. He upholds his word. But so, it's yet another dharmic principle. It's a prema principle. And it's a lesson teaching principle for ordinary people. You know, not ordinary, people that follow dharma. He's the Supreme Lord. He can do anything in unlimited numbers of ways. Anything he likes. So he chose this way, and we don't fault him for choosing what he chooses. Sita was protected coming up in Hanuman's prayers in this section of Bhagavatam. It is not possible, Hanuman declares, that Ram could have been separated from Sita. They're inseparable like the sun and sunshine. How can sunshine be separated from the sun? It's not possible. So the suffering of both of them must be understood on a prema platform. It's an exhibition of love. An enhancing and strengthening of love. And teaching a lesson to dharmic people. Beware. Doesn't say don't, but beware. So, where does the fault lie from Ram? Should he have allowed Sita to come with him into the forest because it's so dangerous? And then in that dangerous condition, if something happened, he's responsible? Did he do the right thing, or did he do the wrong thing? Was he doing this because of undue attachment? Because she pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded, and so he consented. It's a lila, but part of the lila is undue attachment leads to misery. And that's what Hanuman is instructing us, what Ram wanted to do, and that should be the takeaway. Undue attachment. Now, it's specific to the situation with Lakshmana. I never heard this before I read this commentary of Jiva and Vishwanath. So don't ask me details about, you know, the situation. I don't know them. But at least from the information that's provided, there was an occasion where a consultancy was going on, something of a minister. Deva Duta, Duta means messenger, like Vishnu Duta, Yama Duta, Deva Duta, messenger from the Devas. I don't know anything about the person. What it, you know, maybe that was his title, maybe that was his actual name, whatever. And so he is in a private discussion with Ram and told Ram, no one should enter, and if they enter, kill them. So Ram was ready to kill him. But how's that possible? Because who's Devaduta anyways, and compared to Lakshmana? So he was really angry. And Agastya didn't say don't kill him, but said give him up, and so he gave him up. Now what was that all about? I don't know the details, so, you know, I can't elaborate on the detail. What both Vishwanath and Jiva Goswami want us to understand is it's not possible, like Hanuman says about Ram being separated from Sita. It's not possible. It did not happen. But it's a lila, so it apparently happened. but it's an exchange of love. So the exchange of love with Lakshmana. So that the intensity of Lakshmana's feeling for Ram becomes spiked, heightened by, you know, casting him away. Not possible. They're eternal associates. Not possible. The love between the two is what it is. It's not possible. But it's, so it's a Leela. That's the prema side. It's not too clear to me what the dharma side is. Other than the Lord gives an order and the order is to be followed. Durvasa Muni has come. And you're going to say, you know, in terms of dharma, not in terms of Bhagavan, but in terms of dharma, here comes Durvasa Muni, you're the king. Better, you know, sit straight. Did he do the wrong thing, dharmically? I don't exactly understand it. But it seems more on the prema side than the dharma side, specifically with Lakshman, although mention is made of both. Because the Lord's pastimes are to do both. The ideal king. So how can the ideal king dismiss his doorkeeper if there's a guest inside and there's an emergency and the doorkeeper violates the standard and comes and there's an emergency. It's an emergency. Durvasa Muni has arrived. Don't mess with Durvasa Muni. So that's a little explanation of this verse. It's a little difficult to understand, but that's okay. Let's see if there's some discussion on this not so easy to understand topic. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand the summary points, Guru Maharaj. So one thing I understood is there is at highest level whatever Krishna says, whatever Krishna does is absolute and good for everyone.
Mm.
And next level is, like especially quoting the marriage example, like there is intimacy needed, but intimacy needs to be in a controlled or
within the boundaries. Yeah,
the boundaries, and also expect there is some suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Tolerate principle.
Yes.
And then ultimately the lesson seems to me, you know, to try to stay in the mode of service.
Yes.
And the consciousness.
Yes.
And if there is any confusion between this, because the highest principle is not easy to know, like at my level, what is pleasing to Guru and Krishna. And I mean, it's not practical. So, I mean, that's where I need to refer to Guru Shadu Shastra. I mean, that's the overall picture I'm getting, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. I mean, what you added is your understanding of the institution of marriage, but, and how to navigate. Not exactly the lesson that's here. The lesson that's here specifically is what was said. There's a risk in undue attachment. And the risk leads to, that risk leads to exacerbated suffering. That's not the intention. Undue attachment doesn't intend to lead to, you know, inflamed suffering, but that's the lesson. And then on the pan scale on the other side is being the dharmic dutiful protector, which is service. It's not controller, it's service. But It's a dharmic function. All the while, without undue attachment, by adherence to dharma, not by adherence to, you know, macho mentality, but adherence to dharma, be protector. That's what we're hearing in Prabhupada's purport. Okay, so online questions. You have a question? Online, go ahead. Microphone.
How devotees answer to below question? In the question, Guru Maharaj, when someone asks the question with challenging spirit about what Rama did, why Rama asked Sita to take Agni Pariksha, and why Rama sent pregnant Sita to forest without mercy?
Well, it depends on the person how to answer. You know, what's your definition of mercy? And does that definition of mercy match the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What was the mercy? This is, you know, another way of saying, what was the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sending Sita away? What was that mercy? And, you know, and on the prema side, and on the dharma side. No, it depends on the person, how you respond. That was the second part. What was the first part of the if someone asks the question?
Yeah, I think it has these two questions, Guru Maharaj. Why Rama asked Sita to take Agni Pariksha?
Why? Why did he ask her to do that? Well, that's easy. He wanted the world to know she's pure. He knew she was pure. But he wanted the world to know. Now that's pretty extreme, go into fire to prove that you're pure. But he wanted to prove to the world she's pure, so that the cloud would not hang over her, nor over him, because he's the ideal king. And Sita's his beloved, and she's perfectly pure. So that was the purpose, the intention.
This Vrajeshwari Pran Mataji's question. If previous impressions is in the way of understanding spiritual messages,
yes,
how to go beyond these impressions?
By hearing. By faithful hearing. In principle, I understand I'm limited and conditioned. And in that situation of being limited and conditioned, that ignorance covering is confusing and causes me unhappiness and misery, and, you know, I want to go on the other side of it. So it's acceptance of one's limitedness and faith in transcendence, specifically faith in the sound vibration that's coming from a transcendental source. So I having faith in that sound from a transcendental source, I reach out to it and receive it. And I'm knowing that it's not going to go in fully because I have these filters of my past experience, but I keep hearing and hearing and hearing with faith, and gradually the covering may become cleared and I'll understand better, but it doesn't, alter my faith in that transcendental source of sound to clear the clouds of my conditioning. That's what to do. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, the question is not very clear. Kindly forgive me. When you are describing Mother Sita's situation of getting attached, and Lord Rama could have put his foot down and said no, but instead he chose to satisfy her request, and then all the pastime unfolded. You mentioned he chose what he chose, and we cannot find fault within that. I'm trying to understand for myself, when I have those kind of desires which are not very favorable, at times I have this, I don't know, faith or confidence that Guru and Krishna will protect me, even if I have a little bit here and there. But this thing is a little bit, I don't know the word, Guru Maharaj. So the essence is, I feel I am responsible for my desires and actions, and I would have to suffer.
Yes. But to go beyond where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow, that's the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then accepting the responsibility for my decisions, that's on me. Another way of saying what I just said, and what you're saying, is an important quote. Krishna speaking to Uddhava: persons in the situation that you described, they accept, this is where I am, and by acting upon these desires that are not connected to the pleasure of Krishna, there's going to be misery, and accept that there will be misery. But let me go on faithfully with my devotional service, that I'll become situated on the other side of those desires. That's the faith in Guru and Krishna will protect me. But I will be responsible. For the present situation that I'm in. And, you know, I'm being honest with myself about the present situation that I'm in. And it's not like, okay, it's okay, because that's the situation I'm in. I'm feeling repentant about that situation, and I want to go on the other side. But here I go, knowing that there's going to be difficulty that comes my way because of that. But my faith goes to Guru and Krishna to carry me beyond that situation. The bhakti power, so I'm making efforts, not just they'll carry me. The bhakti power, my effort in dedicating myself to the pleasure of Krishna and then descending mercy, that's the path out of this present situation. Anything else?
It was from Srinivas Chamati Prabhu. He says, Maharaj, when we understand Dharmam to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, to what end it serves the explanations for Lord's Leela scrutinizingly with Dharma principle? Is it for general audience?
Well, general audience is not likely to understand, but it is for the general audience. That is to say, the intention of the Hanuman is revealing to us Ram's intention. General audience isn't going to understand Ram's intention. Even Hanuman is stating Ram's intention. Nonetheless, the potency is there. The one who hears, the potency is there. Now, supposing somebody knows the Leela from Valmiki Ramayana, but they haven't read this verse spoken by Hanuman. They just don't even have that information or that understanding at all. The potency is there in the Leela anyways. And those that want to go to take a deeper dive in the pastime, find out from Hanuman what is the intention of the personality of Godhead when he does this. Now, there's multiple, but you know, here's one particular one. But so whether when it's, here's an ordinary person hearing the story of Ramayana, and they like the story of Ramayana. It's, there's many reasons to like it. He's the all-attractive Bhagavan. And I may not understand this intention and his potencies and so forth. Nonetheless, the Leela carries the potency. That's it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.